So he gets frozen Lou Malnati's deep dish flown out to California.
Yep. Pat flies out that Luminati's pizza for everybody. So, and I'm like, this is the greatest pizza ever. I got to get out to Chicago to have this pizza.
Hell
like,
yeah.
Like, not frozen.
You're listening to Nothing Important.
Is it better if it's not frozen?
Oh, yeah.
I don't know. I've never had Lou Malnati's frozen and flown out to California, so I can't compare. But I know around here.
Please enjoy the show.
Welcome to the Nothing Important Podcast. This is episode number 33. After the book of things that Dave doesn't care about, we have an interview with Kevin Wiseman this episode. He's a character actor. You may know him from Alias, Clerks 2, Better Call Saul, 100 other IMDb credits. Good dude, good times, great chat. Check him out on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, all Kevin Wiseman, and kevinwiseman.com. No fax machine, though. And make sure to check out his double Emmy-nominated Hello Ladies series and movie as well, available on HBO Go. So enjoy, and we'll see you next week.
And now, an excerpt from the Book of Things Dave Doesn't Care About.
Back to school pictures. We get it. You have kids. You can stop now.
This was an excerpt from the Book of Things Dave Doesn't Care About.
You're listening to Nothing Important.
All right, are we there? Kevin?
Hello, I'm here.
All right, right on. Hey, we didn't even hang up on you this time. It's awesome because it's the first...
Charm.
Exactly. It's the first time in a while we haven't hung up on anybody. So I'm actually kind of impressed with my iPhone skills.
There you go.
Well, thank you.
Is this it? Is we on the podcast now? Is it happening?
We are on. We are recording, man. You are on the Someone Important Hotline on the Nothing Important Podcast.
I like it. Am I the nothing important part or the something important part?
You're the someone important.
All right. My ex-wife doesn't feel that way, but I'm kidding.
Well, that's okay. You know, just because of that, we will never have her on the podcast. How about that?
Oh, no, she's lovely. She's the mother of my children. She's lovely.
Awesome.
Yeah, all of a sudden, I'm Eddie Youngman all of a sudden. I didn't know what to
Well, awesome. Thanks for coming on. You're out in L.A. We're in Chicago right now. So it's like actually like 9 o'clock at night. So I got to keep my voice down a little bit because I live in an apartment complex with like three other apartments, and they're like, dude, you are loud and obnoxious, so I got to keep it down a bit.
All right, no worries. I understand. The walls are thin.
Yeah, absolutely, and you're in L.A., right?
Yeah, I'm in L.A. I'm in my car right now, as we often do in L.A. There's a lot of traveling. I'm working on a new show. I joined the cast for the second season of Scorpion on CBS.
Oh, wow, okay.
Yeah, like Robert Patrick, Catherine McPhee, and Elias Cabell. And so I'm playing a new character on the show. So we filmed that out in Long Beach and San Pedro, and I live more in the Hollywood Hills. So I'm now in some evening traffic, as we like to call it.
Dave could probably attest to that. Dave lived out in L.A. for a while.
Yeah, I had about 8 months to deal with that, and... That's enough for me.
Well, you know, generally you shouldn't be on the road at 7 o'clock. It's not the best time, but, you know, listen, I got you guys. I've got Howard Stern on my Sirius satellite. You know, I'm fine.
Right on. First off, let me start this. As you know, we have the podcast for Better Call Saul. It's Saul Goodman. And we try to get a lot of people who are involved with the show, and so far we've been very blessed. We had Julianne Emery and Ray Seahorn and Patrick Fabian and Mel Rodriguez, and I was so stoked to see that you followed us on Twitter because I was like, oh, that's the guy that they ripped off.
That's me. And you know what? Patrick Fabian and I did a play together about 5 years ago in L.A.
Really?
Pulitzer Prize winning play called Dinner with Friends. And it's about where we play best friends and we're both married and one couple gets a divorce and it's all about how it affects the friendship. So Patrick and I, we shared the stage together for, the entire play and became, obviously good friends. And when he got cast in the show, I was so excited for him. And then learned that I was, going to play this part. And I was kind of told, I signed a non-disclosure agreement to keep it hush-hush because of the nature of the scene. And it was the flashback, and they didn't want it, any Instagramming or Twitter or all of that social media stuff, just to kind of, leave it as a surprise for the audience. So I don't think I mentioned it to Patrick. And then once the show aired, he of course, emailed me and was excited that I was, on the show as well. And he's so good on the show. Everybody's so good. It's such an amazing show.
Oh, totally.
Phenomenal. Yeah. I was very happy to work with Bob. I know Bob as well, just from, LA and mutual friends and the comedy circuit and really happy to work with him as well.
That's great. See, everything kind of comes full circle. Do you have any any inside jokes or anything I could throw at Patrick, because he's actually going to be on our show again? We're going to try to find some time, especially going into the second season of Better Call Saul, and I think it'd be
tell him I owe him a coffee. Like, the guy would buy me he would show up at rehearsal every day, and without fail, he would buy me a coffee as well when he went to Starbucks. He's a very generous guy, and I think I repaid the favor, but I don't think I bought enough coffees to totally repay his generosity. So tell him I owe him a coffee.
I definitely will. I'll totally bring that up. Dave, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. I'm just listening.
Oh, okay. You were so quiet. Usually Dave chimes in a bit. He was so quiet there for a second. I thought we might have lost him because, as our listeners know, we tend to hang up on people and have like all sorts of technical difficulties. So I just wanted to make sure Dave was still there. But that's great that you're like such a tight knit community. It really seems like, and in all honesty, as somebody who's not in show business, like I find that surprising, because I wouldn't think that would be, because there's so many people. So that's
yeah. Well, I've been doing it. I've been my 20th year as a professional actor. So I have worked with and met a lot of people along the way. As a matter of fact, Vince Gilligan. I was on an episode of The X-Files season 7. And it was written and directed by Vince Gilligan. And Vince, it was the first time that he directed. He was a writer on the show. Mm-hmm. And it was his first directing job. And he was fantastic. And the episode turned out great. It was with Will Sasso. Will Sasso and I played these guys living in our trailer. And we discover a genie, and we get three wishes, and it kind of goes from there. Will Sasso from Mad TV. Mm-hmm. And we're just these two, not very bright brothers. And it's a great episode, and Vince wrote it and directed it. And so he wasn't on set when I did this, a little bit on Saul, but it was great to be back in the Gilligan world again.
Yeah, it's fun.
15 years later. Right.
Well, it all comes back around full circle, right? When Dave and I, we were excited to have you on, and then obviously we got to check IMDb, and we were looking at it, we're like, man, Kevin's been everywhere. And my wife was like, who's this guy again? And she looked you up, she's like, oh my God, because you were like in a bunch of her favorite show with like Felicity and Buffy the Vampire Slayer and such. So
deep cuts. Those are deep cuts. Also.
Well, if you want to go deep cut, me and Dave were actually really thoroughly impressed that you were on the Weird Al show.
Yes, with Patton Oswalt. Patton Oswalt. I played. Patton was like the good guy, and I was the mean guy. I was Spike. The show was supposed to be like a Pee Wee Herman message show every week, and I was like the mean guy of the episode that named Spike. And it was directed by Peyton Reed, who just directed Ant-Man, actually.
Man, let me ask you this: have you ever worked with Terry Dale Parks?
No, I know who the actor is, but I haven't. No, wait, Terry Dale Parks is an actor.
Yeah, yes. he was in he's on Astronaut Wives Clubs, and he was in he had a part in Terminator, and I was just asking because we had a.
I know I'm a big fan, but I haven't worked together. No, not yet.
Yeah, because we had a similar conversation with him where you know, because like I said, Dave and I, it's not like we're involved in Hollywood or anything like that. We just happen to be lucky enough that enough people picked up on our Better Call Saul podcast that like we had the credibility for this podcast that people who are in entertainment come and talk to us. So for us, we're always more amazed by like how it works and how many different connections they are. And it's just kind of funny as we talk, we had a similar conversation with Terry Dale Parks, you know, TDP as I like to call him. And, and he's, I never once called him TDP. He'd probably be like, what the hell's that dude talking about?
You can call me K-Dub if you want.
All right, K-Dub. But it's just, I believe we asked him something similar. When you have such a wide variety of projects and you do so many different roles, how do you keep your head straight?
Well, you know, I'm a character actor, and I guess that term is kind of a broad term, but, you know, I come from the theater, and that's my background. I went to UCLA, and then I studied in New York, a place called Circle in the Square, and I've done stuff off-Broadway and on-Broadway, and you just learn how to create a character, and from training and studying for so many years and doing so much live theater that you really just have to kind of commit to your choices and commit to the character and just have very finite thinking. Like, people will say to me, oh, you know, what were your lines in Clerks 2? Or, do you remember on Alias you did this? And I honestly don't remember, because I just stay so present when I'm doing something, and I'm just focusing on that thing, and I learn the material, and I focus on what I'm doing 100%, and then I literally let it go so as to not have that material or that character bleed into the next project I'm doing. Does that make sense?
Absolutely.
No, totally. And I find that impressive that you're able to have like that kind of separation. And because, like, for example, I've been at my new job for like 6 months, and I still answer the phone with the greeting from like two jobs ago because I can't separate. So I couldn't even imagine playing like all the different characters. I would just be like the worst mix. See, I can't even say the word mismatch. Dave, you know what I'm trying to say, right?
I don't know.
Dave, where's Dave? Hello, Dave. Where are you?
Yeah, come on, Dave.
I don't know what Brian's trying to say. I never know what Brian's trying to say.
Are you guys like homies from high school? Is that where you met, or college, or how do you guys know each other?
Yeah, Dave. Dave and I, we both come from a really tiny town in Illinois that was only like 3,000 people growing up, and We kind of hung out in high school a little bit, and then we formed a band, and we were in a band for years. And ever since then, we just kind of collaborated, and I moved to Florida for a while and then came back. And now that I have a wife and kids, I don't have time for a band. But Dave is an audio engineer, so he wants to play with all the equipment. So we were just kind of like, well,
let's do a podcast.
Podcasting. Yeah, podcasting's a thing.
Cool. And what kind of who plays what? Drummer, guitar? What do you do?
I was the lead guitar player and the main songwriter, and Brian was the front man and the lyricist, but he doesn't like to use the word singer.
Oh yeah, no, yeah. Trust me, I am not a singer at all. I'm terrible at singing. I don't even play. I don't play a goddamn instrument. So like I'd have trouble figuring out the tambourine. So yeah. So me and Dave, we've just kind of always collaborated and tried to make each other laugh and. Again, this is why we appreciate you coming on our show, is because when Dave and I started this, we never thought that anybody would even ever talk to us. But now we have like people listening and, you know, folks coming on, and it's just incredibly interesting. It's been a lot of fun. So, you know, we're
yeah, world is amazing, right? I mean, for that, it's amazing.
Yeah,
it's a cool
community. Everybody's really supportive of each other. There's not a whole lot of competition or trash talking. Most people collaborate on stuff, and it's just like, it's a niche thing, but it's getting more mainstream, but it's a lot of fun.
Yeah, I think, you know, I think people, it's such, there's so much kind of brutal honesty and like candid conversations, you know, with obviously Mark, the Titans, the Mark Marins, and, mm-hmm. and you know, the Nerdist, and like, and just hear people in a really honest, like, refreshing place. It's not it's not you know, canned or pre-planned, or
it's almost like pirate radio for the modern age. You know, it's off the cuff and it's uncensored for the most part. And
And actually, it's funny that you brought that up, because I was just talking to Dave about this, and other people have asked us about like our whole podcast adventure that we've been on for the past like 8 months. And I was talking how I like I feel like radio and newspaper and TV, like when people get quote unquote interviewed, it's just like a list of questions, right? And you pepper the person with questions. And I never wanted to do that, you know. Like I just want to chat with people I find interesting, you know. Like we had Dan Severin on, who was like a childhood hero, and he's like an MMA legend, you know. And he was like the coolest guy and told all these great stories. And I don't think I wrote a damn question for him, you know. He feels more
comfortable in that setting too, because you can tell a story that just feels organic,
right?
And you're not. There's no pressure to have to kind of tell the story within a certain context or time. You know, I think that's why like Howard Stern and people like that, they're just great interviewers, because yes, they're questions, but you actually feel like it's really just an organic conversation. Like we're having, fellas, we should be having a beer right now. Are you having a beer while we're talking? Is anyone drinking?
Yeah. No. Aaron, Corolla, watch your ass, because we have dozens of listeners.
Corolla might have hundreds of thousands, but you have at least 20.
Right, I'm going to use this opportunity to segue into a pre-planned question that I had before this all started.
What is it?
No, actually, I am very, very curious after looking at your IMDb page, and it seems that you have a lot of roles that are like sci-fi or action or like the crime, like very intense stuff. And I'm really curious, is that your choice? Is that what you choose to go for? Or is that just kind of the roles that you seem to fit as an actor?
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting, yeah, because some of my earlier work in the, not so much in the theater, I was playing all sorts of, you know, very diverse roles, but early on, I guess I kind of did Roswell and Buffy, and then I was doing Felicity, and that's where I met JJ, and he was doing this. I did 3 episodes of Felicity. I played Amanda Foreman's boyfriend. And he said to me, you know, I'm doing this other show. You might be right for it. You should come in. And I got the audition material. And the part was described as, and I was 29 at the time, and the part was described as a guy in his mid-40s, overweight, balding, ponytail, Motley Crue t-shirt, sweating. And I'm like, well, first of all, I'm none of those things. I do like Motley Crue, but I'm none of those things. And, you know, kind of the lesson was, as an actor, I tell people this all the time, just like, go in and make a choice and hope and the chips fall where they may. So, you know, I went into the waiting room, and there were other guys there, and they all looked as very similar to the description that I just described to you. You know, they were all kind of, you know, overweight, balding, ponytail, the t-shirt, the thing, the guy with the beard, and I was the opposite of that. And and I ended up, JJ and I just kind of had this very honest kind of collaboration, and we were kind of figuring it out in the room, and I ended up getting this very iconic role as this, you know, tech geek Q in the James Bond series type of thing, and that was kind of a game changer, because everybody then saw me as this guy, and I can't tell you how many times I was asked, hey, are you really actually great with computers? Can you help me with my computer? So I'm like, I'm not doing that. I don't actually know anything about that. I mean, I was a big kind of video game guy, and I do enjoy that still when I have time. But
right on. Man after my own heart, yeah.
Well, I do see that I don't know if we can talk about it. You're on an upcoming show. Was it Geeks Who Drink?
Yeah, that was that's a game show. Yeah, that my buddy Zach Levi, you know Zach Levi from Chuck, worked on. I did an episode of Chuck, and I met him there. And really nice guy. And he hosted this show where it's just like, you know, actors that I guess have played geeky roles. I was against Trisha Helfer, who was in Battlestar Galactica, mm-hmm. and you know the gorgeous, tall, blonde, beautiful woman. And then you have two other people. Yeah, you know she is. Two other people that are on your team, and then you're just drinking on camera, and there's like drinking games, and you're asked questions that are kind of geek related and movies in that genre that are kind of related to, you know, superheroes or sci-fi. And I'm not going to tell you who won, but they got a bunch of actors to do it. And I think I'm in an episode coming up. I don't think it's aired yet. It's on the sci-fi. Did you see when you did it say what when my episode airs?
The article that I saw just said next month, and it was
end
of July.
I don't know what. I think end of July was when it was starting the show. But there was a bunch. They filmed a bunch of episodes. So I don't know when I definitely got a little intoxicated on this show. I will.
Dave told me about that, and that was the first time besides like Family Double Dare when I was 9 years old that there was a game show that I was like, holy crap, I want to be on that.
The audience is drinking too.
Oh wow. So talk to Levi and say, hey, if you ever do a Nobody of Podcasting themed episode, and then you will be our celebrity coach, and me and Dave, we'll take on all comers.
That sounds good. I don't know. I think they're going to see how the show does if it's going to come back for another season, because I think they filmed all the first season shows. So yeah, if it comes back, well, I will be, because I'll go back for a rematch, and you can be my guys.
Heck yeah,
We would embarrass you so bad. You'd be like, I don't even know why the hell I even agreed to do this.
Oh, are you kidding me? The one game show I saw that I really wanted to do last was Beat the Geek, because I am a geek and I know trivia for some reason. It sticks in there.
I needed you on my team because my team was okay. We did all right, but I don't want to spoiler alert. We did okay.
All right.
But by the way, how good? I mean, I know since you guys do a Salt podcast, I mean, how great did that first season? I think the expectations were huge, but I'm just a fan of Breaking Bad and a fan of that world. I feel like it exceeded expectations.
I didn't realize how good I think the show is until I went back and watched clips of Saul from Breaking Bad and saw how drastically different that character is. Mm-hmm. That's when I was just like, holy crap, they're doing a really good job with this slow burn of just kind of leading us along. Yeah.
Right. He was a lot more subdued in this and not quite full-blown Saul yet as he was in Breaking Bad.
Right, yeah.
So, is that what you mean?
So much more brash and crass and just that guy. And then his character now in the beginning of Better Call Saul is someone that I can actually kind of relate to, you know.
Right. He's just slipping Jimmy.
Yeah.
Right? It actually kind of took me and Dave by surprise, because it started about the same time as we started the whole podcasting thing, and then we ended up being one of the first Better Call Saul podcasts out there. We started putting up episodes like 4 weeks before the series started and just kind of trying to wing it and make like a half-hour episode, and the whole time we were like, man, what if this show sucks? What if we're committed to this, and what if this show sucks? But
I
like the slow burn. I know at the beginning people like, because even we kind of fell into that trap where we're like, all right, this is the moment where he calls himself Saul. You know, this is the moment where this really happens.
By the way, that was he called himself Saul.
Yeah, that was all you.
That's right. That was you.
That was all you.
7 minutes. I had 7 minutes of screen time, but I had the most iconic moment.
And I'm glad you mentioned that, because there are haters out there that love to write into us that probably would have pointed that out. So
they would have been
like, you talked to Kevin and you didn't even mention the fact that he called himself Saul first to you. You know, they would have thrown that in their faces.
Mel Rodriguez was so good in that scene too. I love that.
Oh yeah, the buttholes.
the
butthole.
You know,
and I hadn't seen the other scene of their relationship when we filmed it, and we filmed it at the very end. They were already done. They were just about finished with the finale when I flew in to shoot that scene, because what happened was, what I heard was, they actually had in episode 4, when they cut it together, they realized they were short on time. That the episodes, generally, network shows are 42 minutes. I think on cable, maybe it can be 48 minutes because of commercials. Mm-hmm. And I think it fluctuates a little more on cable. You don't have to lock into 42 minutes of airtime and then 18 minutes of commercial like they do on network. But what I understood was that they had more, the episode came up short. So they said, you know, let's do a flashback. And, you know, long after they had shot that episode, because they were already on episode 10, and this is episode 4 that I was in. Right. And so I came out at the very end of the filming process to shoot that scene that they then added into the 4th episode. So I hadn't seen, obviously, any of Mel's work. I didn't know what that character was. Mm-hmm. And I was just like, this is such an odd thing that he's doing, singing about buttholes. Do you know what I mean? Because I didn't know that they were... I mean, they kind of said, well, are they working together or whatever, but I hadn't seen all the history on the screen, which right. is this, you know, huge kind of, you know, these two guys that are con artists and they're working together. So it made more sense once I watched it.
You know, we kind of talked to Mel about that, too, and he said something very similar. He said, because just the way that production goes, you know, he flew out, like, the day before, and he said, you know, he filmed, because he was, like, in 2 episodes, so he filmed them both back-to-back during the same day on the same scene or whatever. And he said, yeah, I didn't see a lot of the context until it was actually on screen. And I would think, like, you know, like when I walk into work, I know what's going to happen. And when I leave work, I know what's going to happen. And do you think that's I guess what I'm saying, like, is that a fun thing for you that you like sometimes are put, you know, you're out of context in some of your performances?
Well, I wouldn't, not really. I mean, it's kind of the opposite. I really prefer to have as much information as possible, you know, because, you know, the more information you have, the richer the performance is going to be, hopefully, because it's really just about preparation. However, mm-hmm. in something like this, I had all the information I needed because my character isn't in the world. He's just a guy that's in Chicago that's in this bar that thinks he has the upper hand on this guy. So mm-hmm. I didn't really need to have all that information. You know what I mean? It's just like, so you kind of have to look at the context of what the character is. It's like, well, what do I need to know? All I need to know is I've been drinking, I'm in a bar, I meet this guy, and we're having a great time, and we're going to go to another bar, and then we walk down an alley, and we see a guy, and there's a situation with a watch, and I feel like I'm being taken advantage of, so I flip the tables, but it turns out I was the one who was conned. So, you know, yes, as a fan of the show, it would have been great to have the information, but as an actor, all I needed to know was what pertained to that scene. Do you know what I mean?
Right, right.
Totally. And now,
yeah, I would have been great to know because I was like, how are they going to do this show? What is it? You know, I wanted to know. Bob told me a little bit too, but you know, I hope I'm not speaking out of turn, you know, for Bob, but I think he was a little nervous too. What I got from him is just what the reaction was going to be because Breaking Bad was such an iconic show, and then all of a sudden, you know, they made a show about his character. So I think he was probably a little nervous about how people were going to react, but obviously, people were over the moon. It's been nominated for multiple Emmys, and you know,
Have you come across anybody that has found Better Call Saul better than Breaking Bad? Because we have had one guest who actually likes Better Call Saul better.
I mean, I think they're both great. I think it's too early to say that really with Better Call Saul, right? I mean, because
yeah.
Breaking Bad is one of the best shows in the history of television. And it's an opus, you know, it's five seasons, so it's a
known entire body of work where Better Call Saul is just getting started.
It's too early to say. Better Call Saul first season was amazing, but I think to say it's better than Breaking Bad is a little premature, don't you think?
Yeah, I would actually, that's a good point.
But I mean, it definitely has a strong foundation to build on. I mean, they've done it so well with the slow burn and such. It's just a really... really good show, and you know,
it's not a competition. Why are we comparing the two? It's not a competition.
Dave, I was just, yes. See, you shut me up.
No. I mean, it's not even you. I'm saying I've heard that a lot of people, there's discussions about that. Like, is it better than this? Is it better than that? It's like, why can't we just appreciate it for what it is?
Right.
Yeah. Who gives a shit? Just watch the show.
People say, what's better, The Sopranos or Breaking Bad or The Wire? It's like, they're all great.
Right. It's like Star Wars versus Lord of the Rings. I just watched your scene from Clerks 2 before you came on. Sorry.
Oh, that's, I was like, wait, that's ironic that you said that. Yeah. And by the way, Clerks 2 is so funny because I worked one day on that movie and did that scene. And, you know, people approach me, and I'm very fortunate, I'm very blessed to have a career. But I get so many people that want to talk to me about Clerks 2. It's amazing. Kevin Smith has so many fans.
Yeah, he has an enormous, loyal as hell fan base. And many people think Clerks 2 is like his best movie or one of his best movies. I think it's Red State, but a lot of people go with Clerks 2.
I never saw Red State. Should I see that?
Yeah, it's amazing.
I'm a fan of Kevin.
Yeah.
I'll check it out.
His whole thing about the way it came about was anytime he felt the movie started to write itself, he went in another direction. So there are some shocking changes in that movie where you're just like, what the fuck? And then just, yeah.
Wait, that's the one where there's the disc jockey, the radio personality, right? Is that Red State?
No.
That's the more recent one.
That one I haven't
seen. Where it's like a podcaster. Kevin's last movie is about a podcaster.
Oh, yeah, I haven't seen that one, actually.
With Michael Paul.
Is Tusk?
He might be in both. I think he's in like three of his movies.
I think Kevin's a big fan of Michael Parks. Yeah, you know what? I'll watch Red State this weekend.
Yeah, you should.
I'm not recommending.
That's a good movie.
I'll check it out. Well, I guess Clerks 3 is happening because I've heard people talk about it. They're like, "Hey, you're going to be in Clerks 3." I was like, I have no idea. I mean, I'd love to work with Kevin again, but I think it's just cool that they're thinking about doing a Clerks 3.
Yeah, I'm glad he's still directing, because I had heard that he was going to give it up and he was going to like do a hockey movie and then end his directing career, and he's focused on podcasting or whatever, which is cool because his podcasts are great too.
Yeah, he has a Smodcast is his deal. Smodcast.
I love them. The Smodcast. I've heard some of his stuff where they go to speak and tell stories in front of crowds. Jason and Kevin. Yeah, it's great. That's great.
That dude can talk. Wow.
I mean, it's not as good as your podcast.
You do not have to say that.
Yeah.
All right. You know what? You're even.
All right. I'll take that. Before we hang up, we have the traditional question of what's your favorite frozen pizza?
My favorite frozen pizza?
Yeah.
Well, I have a weird affinity. From when I was a kid, I loved those Stouffer's, like, rectangle pizzas.
Like the school pizzas?
What's that?
Like the school pizzas you get for school lunch?
Kind of. They're like rectangles and kind of rounded at the end. They're Stouffer's. And they're not great, but they're just nostalgic for me, for my sister. That was what we used to eat. So it's like childhood love. What's your favorite frozen pizza?
Brian,
I like Tony's myself. I always go with Tony's, but I know Dave is partial to Tombstone.
Yes, I am a Tombstone guy.
Well, and my buddy is from Chicago, and maybe you can help me out. What if it's a deep dish that he gets frozen, and they fly it out to L.A.?
Is it Giordano's?
What is it?
Either Giordano's or Luminati's.
Luminati's,
yeah.
And that shit is good.
Oh, my God. It's so good.
So he gets frozen Lou Malnati's deep dish flown out to California?
Yep.
That's awesome.
My friend Kyle Walsh and Kyle, you know Kyle Gass. So whenever Kyle's a buddy, and so Kyle has barbecues. And
you say Kyle Gass?
Yeah, Kyle Gass. Kyle Gass and I were in a band together.
Really? Awesome.
Yeah. Speaking of bands, I play the drums, and we did a little side project called Trainwreck, but Kyle's got another project called the Kyle Gass Band.
Real quick,
I highly recommend if they come to Chicago, go see the Kyle Gass Band. I mean, obviously, you know the D, right? You know,
I know how to play like the entire first album.
That's a great album.
That's a great album.
Kielbasa Sausage.
Hell yeah, dude. Yeah. Open mic night once a week.
And you were in his band, Trainwreck. So, Nice Peter has opened for Trainwreck. in the past a few years ago, and Nice Peter is a friend of ours from our band days in Chicago.
Yeah, we used to open up for Nice Peter back in the day.
Yeah, look at that.
The music scene is full circle. So yeah, when Kyle has little jams at his house where he's got amazing musician friends, and people come out and just play guitar or whatever, and then Pat flies out that Illuminati's pizza for everybody. So, and I'm like, this is the greatest pizza ever. I got to get out to Chicago to have this pizza.
Hell
like,
yeah.
Like, not frozen. Is it better if it's not frozen?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I don't know. I've never had Lou Malnati's frozen and flown out to California, so I can't compare. But I know around here, in my opinion, that's not even the best Chicago-style pizza.
I've had it flown out to Wyoming, and it's okay. But I'm not sure how it tastes when it's flown out to California.
I've picked it up in the city.
It's a long way.
I've driven it to my house 40 miles outside the city and ate it. You know.
Right. So, but I tell you what, Kevin, I make this offer all the time, and I am dead serious about it. Next time you're in Chicago, like, hit us up. We'll go get awesome pizza, and, you know, you and Dave can jam out while I sit there and listen because I don't know how to play shit.
Do you have a trap set up anywhere?
Actually, we do parody songs too as a part of our podcast. We kind of stopped working on them, but we call it that time of the month.
They're not really parodies.
Covers.
Really.
I'm sorry, covers of female artists. We call it that time of the month. We cover female artist songs. And we do it out of
I love it. Like the Dan Band. You know the Dan Band?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, Dan Finnerty. He only does, like, female, like, you know, Donna Summer, Pointer Sisters, and, you know, he's great. That guy's hilarious. Well, cool, man. Well, I'll come out and jam with you.
Fuck yeah.
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, thanks for coming on Nothing Important Podcast. Do you have anything that you want to let people know about that you're working on?
Well, like I said, I just joined the second season of Scorpion, and I'm doing some stuff I don't know if I'm going to die, but I just did some stuff on The Blacklist, and I'm pretty much in deep in Scorpion right now, so I think it premieres September 25th, and my first episode is the week after that, and then I'm on for a while, so yeah, check it out.
Awesome, totally. We'll make sure to post that.
Yeah, I did a movie that I think is coming out called The Trust with Nicolas Cage and Elijah Wood. So I'm not sure when that's being released, but it's a smaller movie, but directed by these two brothers, kind of got a Coen Brothers thing about them. So it's kind of indie, but if you see it anywhere at your local art house, The Trust, go check it out.
Awesome. Absolutely. And we'll put all that information on our website. And Kevin, it's been an honor talking to you, and I hope you come back and chat with us again. You know, we don't have that Corolla Nerdist Mark Maron audience. Look, I'm not going to have Barack Obama on anytime soon, but we may get somebody. What's that?
I thought that was insane that he asked the president on. That was insane. Yeah,
well, yeah, like we might get Donald Trump. Who knows?
I think
Maron got the president. You got the guy from Clerks 2. There you go. Yeah.
I will take you over that any day. So thank you so much for coming on. I hope you come on again, and it's been an absolute pleasure talking with you.
You too, guys. Take care.
Thanks, K-Dubs.
All right. Later, dog.
Be sure to follow Nothing Important online at nothingimportantpodcast.com. Find us on iTunes, on Twitter at NotImportantPC, and you can also find us on Facebook. Nothing Important is recorded with help from Third City Sound in Joliet, Illinois. Thanks for being awesome.